First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringster.com. You can check out all of our latest investigations or check recent podcasts of the show. For you guys that are new to the show, you can call 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate you, but please hit number one on your dial pad so we'll know you were one on air. And for everybody else, you can join us in the live chat room. You can sign in using your Facebook or Twitter accounts right here. So with all that said, there's so much going on, but unfortunately, this is the last Wednesday night that Dale the Truth will be able to join us for a while because of some work considerations. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, my friend. Yeah, the dreaded work schedule. They say you got to keep working and pay the bills. My wife won't let me quit my job, so that's that's part of the problem, you know. Unless you can give me on some kind of a stipend, and I won't have to work if the government can prop me up. Oh yeah, I'm not a socialist, so I'm going to be out working and keep me from doing shows except for Tuesday. So it's good to be here tonight.
Yep, as we announced last night, we announced last week, the TNT show will now move to Tuesday nights beginning next week. So make a program note of that, folks. It'll be the TNT show with Dale the Truth. It's now the Tuesday night truth with Dale the Truth. It's kind of funny how we got to at least keep...
Yeah, same acronym for all the kids who went to government school, so...
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that we were able to it actually worked out that way. I tell you, Dale, I'm glad you mentioned government schools because that's on the agenda for tonight. You know, and quite frankly, we're going to get into the LG&E situation a little bit more as well. This is comical to say the least. But let's start with the JCPS. As we know, you know, Adam Edelin had done an audit last week. It was a scathing audit of the Jefferson County Public School System. It founded a bureaucracy that was basically way too heavy, overly compensated. It's a 260-page report. There were 45 findings. Part of those findings was that the school district, Jefferson County School District, pays about 369 administrators more than $100,000 a year. You know, when we look at that, and we compare that to the five school districts that Adam Edelin used as a comparison because they're similar budgets, similar size, everything else. You know, the closest one to us have 53 administrators at $100,000. That already is alarming in itself, is it not?
Oh, it is. I mean, I think you could get a good start by cutting about 200 of those administrative positions. And according to my math, that would save us at least $20 million a year if we just would cut 200 administrative positions tomorrow. That's what we should do.
And that $20 million a year, of course, could buy paper and pencils and all the other stuff that the teachers are saying they're buying out of their pocket, right? So we've got all of that stuff. It's also interesting, and here's the interesting, even worse to me. It basically said the audit found that the district school board is in the dark about the details on the budget that they approve every year. The JPS school board approved a $1.2 billion annual budget last year. We'll get into the new budget here in just a minute. But, you know, they approved this budget, and they don't even have details of what's going on with it. You know, and then, of course, you've got Carol Ann Haddad, the worst of the worst on this school board as far as I'm concerned. You know, basically said Adam Edelin was just using this as a political thing because he wants to run for governor and you know, and try to make this political. I've got to say, Adam Edelin has done one hell of a job as far as I'm concerned, coming in behind Crit Llewellyn and auditing and coming up with the things he comes up with. I've got a hell of a lot of respect for him. But this just goes to show the disconnect with JCPS of these idiots like Carol Ann Haddad, who are on that board. Is it true?
Well, she had the nerve to sit there and say that he was doing this because it was political. And this is the woman who has spent at least 25 years as an elected member of the school board. And she has the balls to talk about something being political. I mean, Adam Edelin's done a good job. He's going to get in trouble with a lot of hardcore Democrats because he's getting praised from us. But if there are very many honest Democrats out there, they should get behind Edelin because he's done a bang-up job.
Well, and that's very true, and I agree with you 100%. And that leads us to this budget. The Jefferson County Board of Education passed a $1.3 billion record budget for JCPS. There was 2 hours of debate. It's interesting. Two people actually dissented, David Jones Jr. and Chris Brady, and they basically used Adam Edelin as the catalyst for this. They said that they couldn't approve a spending plan that they didn't fully understand. David Jones Jr., and as we know, very successful businessman, David Jones Jr. says he just didn't feel like he had the information he needs to do his job as a board member and vote yes on this budget. So that clearly, you know, vilifies, if you will, or vindicates what Adam Edelin said last week, does it not?
Well, I'm not really sure why David Jones and Chris Brady were doing the grandstand because we know that they're not on our side when it comes to most liberty issues, and we saw how they campaigned and the issues and the stances they took 2 years ago when they ran for this office. So I'm really not sure why those two spoke up. I mean, I guess technically there are three men, if we want to break it demographically, there are three men on the school board and four women, and probably the only one that I have any faith in and any respect for is Chuck Cataway, who was elected 2 years ago. He's kind of on our side, if you want to call it that. So I'm not really sure if it makes it better or worse that that these two guys decide to talk about, oh, we don't know what's in it and we can't vote for it. Can they get their other socialist leaning friends and other levels of government to agree with this? That since they don't know what's in it, they can't vote for it? Because I don't really buy this by David Jones. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Well, I'm 100% in agreement with you there. But I guess the point I was trying to make was that, you know, these guys are running for cover, so now they're going to hide behind Adam Edelin. You know, Chris Brady even went on record to say that he agrees with Edelin and that he has concerns over his understanding of the budget, and he's asked for a lot of details but has not gotten them. You know, to me, we know these guys are doing political grandstanding. We know this. They're running for cover.
When media made a deal out of it, you would have thought that it was a knockdown, drag-out fight at the school board, which we know it wasn't. It was pretty much business as usual. But because two of the seven didn't walk lockstep and all seven didn't agree on everything like they usually do. I know Chuck's been a few exceptions to that rule, but because they didn't get at least six people to agree with it, only got five people to agree with the budget. It was like, oh, my goodness, it was division at the school board. That's the way they made it out to be. And again, I don't think it's necessarily good or bad that those other four voted for the plan. I think it would have been nice if nobody voted for the plan. They they just go along to get along. And, you know, I guess in a way I'm kind of surprised that Chuck voted for it, because he could have – that would have been funny if the four women voted for it and the three men voted against it. That would have been interesting.
Well, yeah, but then it would have
been
sexism.
The men didn't understand, and they're just men. They don't know anything about kids.
right, which is a joke today. There's as many single fathers today as there are single mothers. So, but we look at this, you know, you're right. Board members Diane Porter, Debbie Westland, Linda Duncan, Chuck Hathaway, and Carol Haddad all voted in favor. And you know, Westland went on record that says that she remains very confident that this budget invests in student growth, because that's the bottom line and that's their big goal. But here's the Nancy Pelosi of Westland, and I laughed when I read this. All the rest are details that we can monitor through the year. It sounds like Nancy Pelosi with Obamacare. We have to pass it to see what's in it. You know what I mean? That is the epitome of not having the willingness or the fortitude to do your job correctly. And so I'm going to be looking forward to seeing what we come up with next. JCPS is definitely on the investigative radar. But I do like the fact that Donna Hargens, the current superintendent of JCPS, actually had asked for this audit, which kind of goes along, you know, with what I liked about Jamie Comer when he took over as the Ag Commission. He immediately requested an audit so he could know what the hell he had to deal with coming out of Richie Farmer. And this audit was done because Donna Hargens had specifically requested the same thing. So maybe that says a lot about her going forward. Time will tell.
These corrupt school board members, we've talked about this on the airwaves, and I've tried to explain to people that four of them, these four women we just mentioned, happened to be that the four women, they're all up for re-election this year. And I don't know if all four of them plan on running for re-election. So far, only two of them have filed already, and there's a couple months, so... Again, it's technically possible, it's logically and statistically possible that you can have people who are for less government and liberty take over the school board this year. If enough people, I mean, if you can get a slate of four liberty candidates, unlike the general elections and the primaries, the two major parties don't have the ability to officially pervert this system. We know they have their hands in it. We know they have their hands in a cookie jar, but they can't control it, in that you don't run as a Republican or a Democrat or independent. You run as a nonpartisan person. So you have these corrupt politicians, and I think you and I probably agree that Carol Haddad and Linda Duncan are about the two most corrupt that there are on there.
Yeah, and I think you can throw Debbie Westland in that as well. But
she has her good days. She's like a broken clock. She has her broken clock days. Where, like I said, the fact that Duncan and Haddad, I think, are the worst, and I don't think that just because they grandstood and didn't vote for this, we know that Brady and Mr. Humana, David Jones, aren't much better. Like I said, I just want them to all have opponents this fall, and I think maybe something to look into. I don't know if you've heard this, and maybe I'm breaking news a lot of people don't know about, but I had somebody, you want to talk about, this is right out of the school of the Ruth Ann Palumbos and the Chris Thienemans when it comes to people who don't live in their district. But I heard that Carol Haddad, who's been on there, like we just said, 20-some years, I heard she doesn't even live in the district that she had served, quote-unquote, for two decades. Have you heard about that?
Well, I have not, but you can rest assured I will now check that out.
I thought that'd be a little homework assignment for you, Ed, but that's what I heard a little birdie tell me. I'm not going to go any further than that, but I just heard that she doesn't live in the district, and she's running for re-election for the 25th or 26th year. So just something to think about.
Well, I will definitely look into that pretty damn quickly, to be honest with you. I have not felt the need to do that, but I will, based on that statement. I'd say this, though. It's just, we're looking at all of this, and we're continuing to see, you know, pathetic, what we call leadership. You know, Adam Edlin even suggested that we need to make the board bigger, which is the one thing I disagree with. He said that we need to add two at-large members to the board. And the first thing I think is, we talked a little bit about it last night. For one thing, I don't think we need a JCPS school board. I think the board should be disbanded. You hire a superintendent as the CEO, if you will, to run their organization. You've got a mayor to oversee that job. I think that's fine. That's all we need. But there are some people that disagree. We had one last night that disagreed with that assessment, and that's okay, too. But if we're going to add two at-large...
I disagree with that. I've told in the airwaves I disagree with that, because my concern is that you're saying if we did that, who's going to hire the government crony that's going to run over it, Greg Fisher?
Well, the Metro Council would have accountability to approve that hire. So we would have, I guess at the end of the day, what I'm getting at is by putting it in that dynamic, the Metro Council has to approve the hire. We have accountability for our elected officials for the JCPS situation at every level, from the mayor on down. For me, that works. Does other people agree with that? No, you're one of them that don't. But I will go this far, though. If we have to have at-large members on a school board, then we don't increase the size of the school board from 7 to 9. We make all 7 seats at-large seats, elected nonpartisan seats, you know, without a district responsibility. If Caroline Haddad doesn't live in her district, who cares? Let her get elected Louisville-wide, just like we do our judge races, make them nonpartisan, non-district, make them all at large. That could be a solution. How does that sound?
I mean, it's a possibility. Like I said, I don't think that Elon is right if he believes that we need more members of the school board. I don't think the problem is too many people or too few people in the school board. I don't think it improves it. If we put it under one superintendent crony or if we have 12 or 13 members running around, I think the problem is who we elect the board. And like I said, people are going to come bitching and complaining and moaning about the school board after next year and after elections pass. And the fact is, we saw, if you want to look at the two major parties, the Republican Party didn't even want to run a candidate for mayor. I mean, don't get me started on the fact that you look at some of the county elections we're going to have this year, and the Republican Party, in all their infinite wisdom, because they're too busy stalking me on the internet to see if I'm loyal to their clan-like cult, and they didn't have the need or the worry or the concern to run a legitimate candidate for mayor. They didn't run anybody for sheriff. They didn't run anybody for property value administrator. It goes on and on. They don't even run a candidate for these races. So I guess it's preaching to the choir to say that they could get involved, but at least the Liberty folks, the Tea Party folks, the Tea Party is not dead, and the people who believe in liberty and less government and are against the corruption in the government indoctrination camps, again, they could band together, they could get a slate of 4 candidates, one for each of the 4 districts this year that are on the ballot, 1, 3, 5, and 6, and they literally, in one night, on election night, could take over the school board.
Well, there's no doubt about that. I do like the total at-large nonpartisan stuff. And if that doesn't work for you, then let's just have a completely voluntary and no stipend paid or nothing else. Let's have a completely voluntary school board with 2 members from each district that are selected by the school parents themselves. That eliminates Caroline Haddad because, oh, by the way, she has no children in school. She hasn't for many, many years. But sort of set it up like a PTA maybe, where you get 1 or 2 representatives. I don't know. There's going to be a lot of ways to look at this, and we're going to be floating some ideas out there in the very near future to basically disband the current form of JCPS and to get more accountability. And I think at the end of the day, for those like Caroline Haddad and these other ones who don't understand, finances and are too scared to ask detailed questions, that at the very least we need to put some more guidelines on who should be qualified to have that office.
For you, Ed, if you want to disband them, and again, I'm not saying they're a good entity. I still just think it comes down to who we elect to them. On that same idea, could we also parlay the possibility of floating the idea of getting to one legislative body in our state government? And this is one I've thought about for a long time. And Governor Ventura, when he was governor of Minnesota, suggested this, and of course the major parties don't like it because it's job protection for them. But why do we need a state senate and a state house? Why can't we have a unibody legislature? Because you're going to have the governor regardless who either signs or vetoes what comes out of them. So why do we need all those government officials? Why can't we just have one body of government in Frankfort instead of a senate and a house? So they always fight and bitch and bicker with each other.
Well, in theory, I would probably say that sounds like a good idea. We basically mirror everything based on the United States, where we have a House and a Senate. In the state
law,
the guideline.
All states are like that.
Well, I agree with you. And in theory, I think that would be a good idea. But then I sit here and I think about all the crap that the Democratic House is trying to slam down our throat and the different things they've had to do, that if it wasn't for the Republican-led Senate, whether we agree with both parties or either party, that check and balance, I think, has actually worked for the most part to save us from getting even worse than we already are. But I think you're right. I mean, I think we should have some way to get total accountability. And if you could get down to one legislative body, I think that would give us better accountability. I don't argue with the premise.
Right. Yeah, we can't go to do Metro Council right in Louisville. We realize that this sham that is the merger was pushed through, 11, 12 years ago? And I know our good friend Paul in the chat room has got his cheerleader uniform on when it comes to being anti-merger with me. But when we came up with this merger idea, why did we have to have those be partisan seats? Why couldn't we have done it like Lexington? God forbid we have to model after that horse town. But Lexington has a nonpartisan city council, and that's how our school board is. So, again, these are all ideals that we can float, but we got to get somebody with balls who has a D or an R in front of their name to go along with it, because until we get a D or an R to go along with us, they keep pushing everybody out. We saw what the old dinosaur Julian Carroll told Michael Lewis, that if he wanted a political party, they'd create one for him. This is how delusional they are. So there's a lot of ideas that we could float out there. I think that if we had a unibody legislature, it would be better, or at the very least, if we would have a nonpartisan legislature or a nonpartisan metro council, it would be better.
And I'm in total agreement with you on that. And unfortunately, since both are, you know, the House of Representatives at state level are dominated by Democrats, you're never going to get that. Since the Metro Council here locally is dominated with the Democratic Party, you're never going to get that. Even if the Republicans wanted it, on a local level, and I'm not saying they do, but even if they wanted it, you've got 9 out of 26. There's no way the vote would be there to even make it possible.
No.
And that really comes down to the will of the people. That's where it takes the 700,000 plus residents in our town to stand up and say, hey, you know what, this is what we want, and start pounding the hell out of their Metro Council members and forcing it on a ballot at the very least, letting us choose.
We can do that ourselves
and put it on the ballot. We just have to get the signatures.
I'm just saying, if you had a few hundred thousand people who backed you, it's like the Metro Council. We talked about it. I spoke to people in the airwaves about when the deadline was coming for filing. I told them, okay, here comes your deadline. Oh, there it goes. It's like just watching a train come through town, and you sit there with your baggage in your hand. You don't get on the board of the train. And what I mean by that is now we have Metro Council seats, whereas 13 seats should have competition this November. But as you know, if you look at the general election, unless some poor independent or third-party or writing candidate has to fight a big uphill battle just to freaking file and or get signatures and or get on the ballot, we've got Metro Council races this fall. How many of them? I'm looking at a total 5. There are 5 contested Metro Council races out of 13 that will be on the ballot in November. That's pathetic.
It is very pathetic, and I personally think we ought to set up those elections just like the judges. Your primary, you take the top 2 winners in the primary and put them head-to-head in November, regardless of the district. I mean, that should be the simplest thing in the world to do, but unfortunately it won't happen. And that's the thing. And also, by making these nonpartisan races, you would at the very least, be able to include all eligible voters, including independents, Green Party, Libertarian, whoever.
They're already paying for the primaries, Scott, as well.
Well, that's exactly it. That's something, we really need to do a show one night on that, put together some talking points and outline exactly how that can work. And I think we will in the near future. This is election season. But those are things that we should look at, Dale, and we're not looking at. And I don't understand why we have this situation where the electorate has just become so disconnected. Our good friend Paul, as you mentioned a minute ago, he put a quote in the chat room that says, "Those who make peaceful change impossible will make violent revolution inevitable." That was a quote by John F. Kennedy, and it's absolutely true. So why not? Yeah, we're not doing anything for peaceful revolution. We're sitting here allowing ourselves to be victimized. So we're not doing anything towards peaceful change. As a citizenry, we're allowing ourselves to be victimized, and we're allowing ourselves to be divided more and more every day based on whether you're gay or whether you believe in abortion, crap that has nothing to do with your government and the way they operate. So, we've become neutralized, I guess, for lack of a better word, that we've given up on any kind of peaceful change, and that's the problem. We can still accomplish peaceful change by banding together. Unfortunately, eventually, and I really think we're headed down that road, eventually, when you look at the police state, when you look at the loss of liberty, when you look at the loss of freedom overall, when you forget about the Constitution, when you look at all these things that have been conglomerate, just a conglomerate way of life, if you will, for the last two decades minimum, you're going to find that we're going to have a violent revolution. And that's the tragedy. And that's what the American people are not looking at now. That's the tragedy. We are setting up our own demise. Is it going to happen in my lifetime? Ah, hell, who knows? But it's going to happen eventually if we don't get control of this runaway train and this oversized, overbloated, egotistical, all about me, five people running the whole world through our government. If we don't get over that, we are screwed. I firmly believe that. But moving on, we've got so many things. And here's one for you I want to put out there, too, because this is kind of interesting. We're talking about the Jefferson County Public Schools budget. This is a record budget at $1.3 billion. It's crazy to me that they spend that kind of money. But when we look at this, part of that money is a small part. It actually goes towards food lunches. Lunches for food. The majority of people in Jefferson County are on some kind of a food card and things like that. They're not paying for lunches. But it's interesting that the schools can now tell you what you're allowed to send with your child to eat every day, like they control your children. But it's interesting because Michelle Obama, we have a group of Republicans in Congress who want to allow the local school districts to opt out of these new federal regulations that Michelle Obama told her husband to sign, and he did like the puppy dog he is, that forces them to feed meals to kids. The kids basically aren't eating. They're throwing this crap away. You know, we've got kids on free lunches that aren't eating every day because of the ridiculous stuff that Michelle Obama is putting out there, based on these rules that came about in 2010. What's really interesting is she's sitting out there trying to play this off like it's some kind of a partisan game that the Republicans should be ashamed because she's a mother and she knows best, which is a joke. Michelle Obama isn't a mother. I mean, she's a mother, but not in the way she would prefer to be called that. But, you know, this whole food lunch program that her and her husband put into effect back in 2010 is costing local school districts millions of dollars each year for wasted food, sending kids home starving who otherwise don't really have any way to eat, and we wonder why they're out on the street robbing and beating up people to get money. You think all that's related?
No, this is the system that they wanted. I think it's by design. I think that you have these public school kids. They protested her stupid little let's move lunches. I mean, we know she's not eating that stuff. Have you seen Michelle Obama? She's not eating that healthy crap. We know that.
Yeah,
we get
pictures of her every day eating fast food. I mean, it's incredible.
I try not to look at pictures of her. That's about the only thing that helps my diet. If I don't look at pictures of her, it's much better than if I do. But my point is, this is by design. I mean, these changes to the school lunch menu, she can say that's unacceptable to get rid of that crap. But again, it goes all the way back to the Department of Education. You just talked about when it comes to the stuff we like to see happen in the electoral process, getting Republicans to even have the balls to go along with it. They won't. We saw in the state legislature just to parlay it with that. Jimmy Higdon was one of the few people that wanted independents to have any say at all, and he had no traction because the rest of the Republican Party didn't have the balls to back him up. And it's kind of like that with the Department of Education. You go back to Goldwater and even up to Ronald Reagan, the goal was supposed to be to get rid of the Department of Education, but we saw that wasn't going to happen. Here came No Child Left Behind and that BS by George W. Bush, and it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, the government does. So we know the Republicans don't want smaller government. It sounds great in their platform, and, you know, God forbid an independent candidate comes along like Ken Momin did to want smaller government, because then if you're friends with him, you're not loyal to the Republican Party. Then how perverted and corrupt and screwed up is their party, because they don't want less government. It's now that is the precise time that we should roll back all this big government that Michelle Obama and her clown husband and the rest of the Congress stand for.
Well, and I totally agree with you there, and it's really interesting because, you know, when you look at all of this stuff, and for the record, I don't actually try to look at pictures of Michelle Obama. People send me this crap all the time, and when you open it up,
it will help your
you
diet.
See, and, well, you know, I've lost a little bit of weight the last couple of weeks, and I know that's why. But, you know, it's interesting because when we look at this and everything else, I mean, Michelle Obama is out there trying to convince the whole world that the kids in school, that our kids in the U.S. are eating more fruits and vegetables. Well, that's not true. They're forcing the school districts to buy this food that they're dictating to them that they have to have, and it's the only thing they're allowed to serve. they're forcing these school districts to buy this crap, but the kids aren't eating it. So when you're buying it, yeah, on paper you would want to say that the kids are eating more fruits and vegetables because the demand for that is up only because you're required to buy it. So it's an artificial inflation of the kids eating more fruits and vegetables. But the reality is about, you know, some people are estimating that 70 to 80% of all of this crap that they're forcing on these school districts is actually being thrown away every day because the kids refuse to eat it. So if they're refusing to eat it, then 70 to 80% of your school lunch budget just got blown out of the water. Nobody's benefiting from that.
Yeah, the government doesn't have the power to regulate school lunches. I mean, I guess they think they do because they already got you in this public school. We know what a public school is. It's like an assembly line. They don't do a good job of the assembly line. If they were one of the major auto manufacturers, they would have shut down and not had any cars to put out years ago. They're not that kind of productive assembly line, but they're in a government assembly line. They're just churning the kids through. Think about the old Pink Floyd video. That's all they are. They're bricks in the wall, and the government, especially not Michelle Obama, they don't have the power to regulate school lunches, and she sure doesn't have the power to stop schools from ignoring her dictates.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, and that's, you know, that's part of the problem. We're allowing her power that she's not entitled to. But, you know, and here's a good example, too, of the difference between what our kids are forced to eat in public school and what her kids eat at the private school they go to. Their kids go to the Sidwell France private school. And just a sample menu for them, French dip subs. For those of you who know what French dip sub is, it's basically roast beef on a bun with some au jus. You know, pretzels and cheese, sauteed greens, rice. I mean, they've got this whole selection of good food that they're entitled to through their school, but their private school is not subject to the same thing we're forcing our children into. You know, so while Michelle Obama's kids are eating pretty high on the hog going to school, and she's eating pretty good anytime she wants to get a Big Mac, you know, here we've got this situation with our kids who are actually going without food at school because there's nothing there worthwhile for them to eat. So these schools are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year out of their budget. And again, we're coming back to JCPS having a $1.3 billion record budget. How much of that is wasted just in that program? You know, so there's so many things.
To say, how much would it cost to bring that kind of elitist menu from the Friends School to JCPS? I'm pretty sure that we started out with my idea of cutting 200 administrative jobs right off the bat that made 100,000 or more. I'm pretty sure $20 million would cover it. At least it would be a good start how much could it cost to get that kind of food in there instead of the crap that's assembled at some plant elsewhere and bust in? They don't even make the food on location anymore. People who aren't in public schools may not know that. They have a centralized location where they slop all this crap together into little blocks and they ship it out to each school each day. And I understand it's an assembly line to them, but if we cut that $20 million I mentioned out off the top, I'm pretty sure we could afford those kind of foods.
Probably so. And, you know, I mean, it's to the point where the kids aren't even drinking milk anymore either as part of their daily lunch. And, that's kind of interesting, too. But, you know, the kids have just given up. And, you know, so now we've got all these kids that are starving. You know, schools are getting paid for the free lunch program, even though the kid's not eating. So now the school is getting paid for the free lunch program. They're throwing 70 to 80% of the food away because the kids refuse to eat it. So, you know, here we've got the state and the feds are reimbursing them for the federal school lunch program. The food is being forced to be bought, so it makes the Obama thing look good, and that money being wasted. So now we've got a double-edged, you know, hit here, if you will, financially. And, you know, we wonder why these budgets are record-breaking budgets. It makes no sense at all. You know, and speaking of record-breaking budgets, we need to get into this LG&E situation, but I tell you what, we're at the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and take our bottom of the hour break. But when we get back, we're going to talk about this 2014-15 budget by Democratic Mayor Greg Fisher and the Democratic Metro Council, who just absolutely loves it. Stick around, folks. You haven't heard anything yet. We'll be right back at the Ed Springsteen Show. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, politics.com. But while you're visiting the website, make sure you join our email newsletter and our RSS feed, and we'll make sure we send you a weekly update of everything we've done on the site, your email address, and our RSS feed will deliver the show direct to you as well, so you will never miss out on any information. Since we are the area's number one site, you guys might want to check that out. I tell you, Dale, we're going into the stupid season. We've spent the first part of the show talking about the JCPS budget. We need to get into the Louisville budget now. As I mentioned before the break, LG&E seems to be a prime target of this administration, and it shouldn't surprise anybody. Because one of the ways that this administration, one of the ways that the Democrats in this town have always controlled us is by the use of invisible taxes, which is why we have people like our good friend Paul Holliger, who's the operations manager for Stop It, the Stop Invisible Taxes organization. But these things are very important because Louisville Water Company is 100% owned, lock, stock, and barrel, by the city of Louisville, yet they raise rates every year, they make profits every year, and those profits are given back to the city. You're raising rates for this place because you're getting these so-called fees or this return on your investment, which is nothing more than an invisible tax. It's the same thing with MSD. We've talked so much about the consent decree with MSD and all the other stuff that they've been able to do, that they're able to take money out of our pocket and add these different fees onto your bill. And now, of course, MSD is trying to push these paper bags. They no longer want yard waste put into plastic bags or plastic containers. No, they want the yard waste put in these special paper bags that you are going to have to pay for to make the supplier rich that they have a cozy arrangement with. You're not going to have a list of suppliers, folks. You're going to be stuck with this one person. So that takes away the free market. And now we're at LG&E. LG&E, Mayor Greg Fisher's 2014-15 budget, includes a 3% what they term an LG&E franchise fee, which is nothing more. Anytime you hear franchise fee against an industry like that, it means we're going to tax you. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. This is what I really love, is the way that they're trying to sell this already. You've got Greg Fisher out there saying that this is a fee that most Kentucky communities already have. Lexington residents pay 4% versus our proposed 3%. Then tries to act like this is not something he does lightly, but it's in the best interest of our community because this is going to pay for new police protection, keep our city growing, maintain a balanced budget, blah, blah, blah. And here's the interesting thing, folks. They always try to use that safety initiative when they go there. I'm glad you laughed because, you know, that's what they always want to try to say here. The problem is, they're lying again because the money that they hope to come up with is basically just going to put 24 officers on the street. The money is supposed to pay for the officers that are going to replace the ones who are retiring. Well, isn't that money already budgeted, Dale? Aren't we supposed to already have that as part of our budget? So they're going to put 24 new officers on the street. But here's the big thing. You've got Jim King going out there, Metro Council President Jim King, everybody's favorite Democrat that we love to hate, says that we are giving LG&E access to our public right-of-ways, and we believe they should pay for that. They do that in 160 cities in Kentucky, and we see no reason why they shouldn't pay for that here in Jefferson County. The problem is Jim King is lying, as usual. It shouldn't be a big surprise. LG&E has made a $600,000 payment every year to Metro government for accessing the public right-of-ways. So to sit here and make a statement like that, that they don't pay for that access, is an out-and-out lie. Now, of course, it's going to be discontinued under this new budget because they're going to make we the people pay 3% on our utility bills, which is going to be $4.8 million. To sit here and act like that LG&E owes this franchise fee, knowing damn good and well that we the people are going to pay it, and LG&E is already paying $600,000, it should be an insult to everybody here. Dale, why isn't it?
Well, I think you just kind of made my point for why I don't want the mayor controlling the school board. I mean, I think you just made my point why we need elected officials and we don't need smaller, or if it's never going to be smaller government, but we don't need a few tin-horn dictators, these little irate magistrates running the school board. Fisher had the nerve to say, again, we saw what he did with the aforementioned bags, how you can't put your yard waste or whatever in a bag that's not going to be earth friendly or whatever. He had the nerve to go over the Metro Council's heads on that to whatever that little peon committee that he controls, because he knew that maybe two or three Republicans on the council might stand up. Maybe a couple of them might have their balls dropped down out of the sack and they might actually be men finally and stand up. But so he couldn't go that way with that. And then he had the nerve to say that on this fee, I'm trying to find a quote here from WFPL, where he basically said that he's asking council members to create this fee, and that he said that he believed that the council was on his side on this. I can't find the exact quote now, but that's what he said. He said that he believes that the council members are with him on this. Well, I wish they'd speak up and tell us if they are. We know they don't have to worry about someone beating them in an election, except for about five of them. So, you know, why won't the other 21 who don't have to worry about losing their seats speak up? Because if they're truly for him and for this fee and this ridiculous franchise fee, they can speak up and tell us. There's no retribution. I mean, Fisher himself, we saw, like I said, the Republican Party didn't think the city of Louisville was important enough to field a major candidate. That's why we have freaking Bob DeVore running as a Republican for mayor.
Well, yeah, I know. That's pretty sad and really pathetic. But, you know, it's interesting, too, that you bring up the council Republicans and the Democrats. Every Democrat on the council loves this.
Oh, yeah.
Loves this. You haven't heard one that goes away from this. The Republican caucus chairman, Kevin Cramer, you know, he went on record and said that the public safety has been an issue for the Republicans for some time. And truthfully, he's right. They've actually tried to increase, you know, police funding and things like that. It's the Democrats who have stopped it through the last few years. You know, but he also points out the obvious, that our revenue is way up this year. As a matter of fact, the revenue here is up about 3.5%, which means that there is $23 million right around $20 million, we'll say, because I'm not sure if they're including the full LG&E estimate or not, but right around $20 million in brand new money, but they still have to go out there and hit yet another utility and put the pressure on the poorest people in this community. If our revenue is up 3.5%, we've got $20 million in new dollars. Why do we need 4.8 on a franchise fee that you know, or an illegal tax, as far as I'm concerned, that we the people are going to pay for? So you do have some Republicans standing up.
Kevin Cramer has spoke out, and he's kind of saying some conservative things, and he has a fight this November. He has an election battle on his hands, so good for Kevin Cramer for saying the conservative things, because he knows he's got to hold on to that seat. My quick question for you, Ed, there's 26 council members. What is the breakdown again? How many Democrats?
Well, there's 9 Republicans, so that leaves
you 17 Democrats?
Yep.
Okay. You have 17 Democrats. Guess how many of those Democrats are running for reelection and are up this year and have a actual election, actually a contested election. Of those 17 Democrats, one of them has to worry about whether they're going to lose in November. How pathetic is that?
I'm in total agreement with you there.
Sherry Bryant in the 5th District is the only one that has to worry about a Republican senator packing. Well, we know she won't go to the private sector, but she's the only one that has to worry about a Republican sending her packing this year. So they're going to just be for big government. Fisher can do whatever he wants. He saw that nobody in Louisville wants to challenge him for mayor, so he figures he's got carte blanche. He has an agenda. He has a mandate.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And you know, the non-Republicans have absolutely no voice anyway. I mean, it is all run like a runaway freight train by the Democrats. That's just the way it is. Non-voices don't do anything. But I tell you, there was one interesting thing here, though. The letter that they put out for the Republican statement on this, if you will, you would have thought would have been unanimous, that 9 Republicans would have signed this. That's not the case, folks. There's only 7 that signed this statement. So
What's 2 Republicans that didn't have their balls dropped from their sack?
Well, one of them really surprised me. I didn't see anywhere that Kelly Downard had signed this.
I'm not surprised. Go ahead.
I really was. So I didn't see anywhere that Kelly Downard had signed this, and I can't remember who the second one was right now. But that one was the one that stuck. That one was the one that stuck out to me. But it's really interesting because this is continuing going on. The people are not doing anything about it. And, you know, quite frankly, if you look at this in play, you've got a $750 million budget. Of course, that includes the federal money that we get. These guys are actually trying to get more federal money through the U.S. Department of Labor. And we'll get into that on another show. Just not enough time in a day to get into that one tonight. But I can assure you we're not going to get those federal funds because, quite frankly, for people that may be interested, we have a history of lying, cheating, and stealing those federal fines at every level. And, you know, we're going to have a problem with that. But we've got this $20 million more. Then you throw LG&E's tack on there, so you're talking about 23 to 24. You know, all this extra money, supposedly, and they're really trying to blame this. This is what makes it all fascinating, because budgets are actually put together months in advance and tweaked over time. Well, you know, now Greg Fisher is trying to act like this March 22nd riot and assault at Waterfront Park in downtown Louisville is what makes this necessary, because public safety is now the centerpiece of his administration, which is a joke. 24 new officers is a drop in the bucket. In 2006, all the data, all the statistical data that was available at that time, myself and Kelly Downard, who was running as a Republican for mayor, I was running as an independent for mayor, we both agreed on one thing, if there was anything we agreed on. And in 2006, the need was for 200 more officers is what we felt we needed to have to be able to curb criminal activity here. And so he thinks this is going to do good. All this money is going to do is pay for the retirements and stuff because they haven't funded those properly. That's the reality. So we're not going to get more officers. You know, we're going to get, you know, 14 new civilian employees for LMPD. The police department's budget obviously is going up. It's going up about $12 million out of the 20. You know, so we've got all this extra overtime pay they're going to put in this. All this public safety crap is a ruse. It's a ruse. Because he wanted the local officer sales tax. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we've talked about holding politicians' feet to the fire and holding them responsible. Where is the alternative? I mean, what do they have to worry about? I mean, you have a mayor, you have a dopey, dwarfy mayor, and you have a 26 metro councilman here. And like I said, of the 27 of them together, Ding Dong Fisher and the 26 councilmen, women, critters, how many of them have to worry about whether they're going to keep their cushy part-time job after November? Only 3 even have to do any sweating, and that's Sherry Bryant in the 5th District and Kevin Kramer and Glenn Stuckel in the 11th and 17th District. So 3 out of 27 people have to sweat a little bit. The other 24 know that there's nothing you're going to do to take away their government job, their government paycheck. So why should they do anything conservative or constitutional? They're showing themselves to be the socialists that they are because there is no backfire. There's no holding their feet.
Well, you're absolutely right on that, and that is very disturbing. You know, we've often talked many times on this show about our sister city, San Diego. You know, San Diego is pretty comparable to us as far as their size or as far as the number of people they represent and all of those things. But, you know, San Diego runs their entire city with our version of a metro council. There's only 8 people, not 26. If they're so worried about all of this, then, like, as you pointed out, it's a cushy part-time job that they get paid about $43,000 a year for. You know, that's not counting their legislative assistants and the staffing and everything else that's all involved in that for 26 different council members. Plus, we have non-discretionary funds and all this spending that they can basically pick and choose to spend to buy votes to keep their job. I mean, we're talking about over $5 million a year just there for absolutely really nothing in return. And
I mean, at least
it's
proven that we can get members off the council. I mean, hell, it's happened twice. It's pretty disturbing, pretty grotesque what they have to do in order to get thrown off the council to be a Judy Greene or also a who's the other lady now? Who else did we kick off the council?
Oh, hell, we could kick Judy Greene, Mary Woolridge. Well, Jessica Greene.
No, the other one that got kicked out already.
Judy Greene is out. Attica Scott is out. Both in District 1, actually. Attica Scott lost her primary.
They actually kicked off the council. They won't ever go after their own people. Barbara Shanklin,
The only one that we've kicked off the council was Judy Greene, and she'll never run again. She actually died about a year later, but she's the only one. The other one we went after was Barbara Shanklin.
That's what I'm saying. They
went
and kicked off the council, so there's very, very small retribution. I guess we can't say they're guaranteed to be in it 4 more years because – you know, they had them for Judy Greene to give her much more severe chasing than they did Barbara Shanklin, because Shanklin should have been running out of there, but she wasn't. And like I said, what fear do they have? Look at the ones who are guaranteed at least another 4 years in there. Look at the ones who literally have nobody Republican or Democrat running against them. If you're a Mary Woodridge, if you're a Tom Owen, I'm just trying to think of the ones who are up for election this year. If you're a Vicki Welch, for crying out loud, if you're a Mary Butler, if you're a Dan Johnson, they're guaranteed 4 more years unless they go on and rape their dog or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's no right end to win those kind of seats. Yeah, and that's exactly it. And just to point out, my good friend Paul Hogg, stop it. I'm sorry?
I said David Yates, for crying out loud.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
He's guaranteed four more years.
And just to point out a real quick thing, I should have mentioned this, and I didn't. When I used San Diego as the comparison, I said they're basically from a landmass situation. I didn't mention the land or the people disparity. But from a landmass situation, they're identical to us here at Jefferson County. From amount of people that those 8 representatives serve, they actually have 1.5 times what we do. They've got 50% more people. We've got 700,000, and they've got over 1 million. That they represent. So you're talking about 8 people. How much money does that save if we eliminate 18 council members? And those people don't get paid in San Diego like we do here, trust me. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that can be done. But, again, it comes down to what you talk about. There's people that won't run for office, that won't step up to the plate. And it's because they're scared of losing. All of a sudden we've got this win-at-all-cost mentality. The win is when you make effective change, folks. The win isn't because you get your name on a nameplate and think you're somebody. The win is when you make change. The version of a win for me when it comes to Metro Council would be to eliminate a lot of these seats that are unnecessary that we're paying for, to take over some of the seats and change the leadership, if you will, if we need to do that. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to determine a win, but it really is interesting that we're looking at this situation. And quite frankly, in addition to all of this, Fisher wants to borrow $20 million. He wants to spend $3.5 million for new police cars. What happened to their budget? Aren't they supposed to have a maintenance budget for that kind of stuff? He wants to spend $6.5 million for new ambulances, $2.7 million for new breathing apparatuses, and he wants to spend $580,000 to equip Slugger Field so it can be used for soccer games. Well, we've got enough in discretionary funds with the Metro Council to pay the $580,000 for Slugger Field if it's that important for soccer. So let's forget about that for a minute. But if he's going to go out and borrow $20 million, when you look at the other stuff that he's planning on doing with this budget, you're looking at, you know, roughly $10 million for what he wants to do with paving roads, repairing the Belvedere, paying $1.4 million for sidewalks. But here's one that I really have a problem with. $1.3 million of that 10 that he wants to talk about is for projects to be identified by the Metro Council. They have that much in discretionary funds. Why do we need to take money for that? Those are so-called maintenance projects. You know, so when you look at all this stuff in play, you put the police increase and everything else, the $20 million he wants to borrow. We're taking in over $20 million in new revenue right now that's going to pay for everything else, and he wants to borrow another $20 million. Piss on it. Borrow $40 million. You make your payments on the $40 million. We're still $17 to $18 million ahead as far as revenue coming in. Put it in a rainy day fund. Why do we have to go to LG&E for this so-called franchise fee, or more importantly, the illegal invisible tax?
We don't have to, but they do it because they can.
Exactly, and that's the problem. And that's the problem. And that's where we, the people, have let down. We have allowed them to do this because they can. And I think it's time that we start putting together some serious marches on Louisville with some serious people. And I mean thousands of people take to the streets right there at Jefferson and 6th Street, right there at City Hall, take to the streets every damn night at 6 o'clock when the traffic is gone. Because these guys are having their caucus meetings in the afternoons at 4 and 5. They're having their Metro Council meetings at 6 o'clock. We surround that building with tens of thousands of residents who say just simply, no more. That's what we need to do. But you're not going to get that organized because everybody is too scared to get involved. You have a bunch of rich white people go down and vote on a bridge in the middle of a Sunday afternoon because they know no black people are going to be there and act like they're doing something to combat crime. You'll have city leadership put together poetry readings thinking that that's going to stop all the daggone violence that we've got and the daggone projects around this city. Yeah, right, that's a big deal. But nobody will stand up for this kind of asinine thinking and hold these people accountable. It's just strange to me. Dale, as usual, the hour has flown by. Tomorrow night will be your last Thursday night Truth Show.
Yep.
On at the beginning of next week, you'll move to Tuesday nights. So yep. With that, sir, final thoughts.
Well, a final thought is there is a chance for people to get involved. And I like your way of thinking when you talk about people need to get out there and protest. I think it's time for some marches and some protests and some speeches and some bullhorns and some civil disobedience even. And people can make a difference still. They think they're upset about the elections. People are upset because big money bought the primaries in a couple elections. But there's a lot of good spots in November that you could be fighting for. There are a lot of good, unfortunately, for better or worse, they're all on the Republican side in the state House races. I haven't seen a Democrat challenger that I really want to get behind yet, and that's just me looking at the truth about their ideology, not their partisanship. But there's a lot of good candidates like a Alan Claypool and a Phil Moffitt and a John Riley and people like that who we want to get elected in November. And you can also take over your school board. Like I said, we can have four people run for school board and they can make a difference. If we really want to get radical, you could get some independents and libertarians and third parties run for some of the Metro Council seats. If you could just get your friends who are Democrats to come together with you or your friends who are Republicans and stop defending their own tag team partners because they look out for each other, that uniparty that Ed tells you about. Just think if you had a independent or a libertarian or a Green Party candidate or a third-party constitutional candidate, any of those guys taking on a Mary Wooldridge as a Democrat or taking on a Dan Johnson, the Democrat, or hey, we can get crazy. If you don't believe that people should be double dipping, you could get one of those third party independents to take on a Julie Carmen Denton or to take on a James Peden. If you really want to get involved, you can still do that in November. If you want to get off your ass and get involved, otherwise you're going to be part of the New World Order.
You're absolutely right, man. I tell you, I struggle sometimes trying to find a closing rant, if you will. And I tell you why, because so many times it seems like I'm saying the same thing over and over. And you have to ask, does it make a difference? You know, the reality is, yes, it does. To some people it does, to some people it don't. To some people I'm a lunatic, to some people I'm dead on. When you talk about the New World Order, as Dale does, is he right, is he wrong, is it a conspiracy, is it not? People are going to make up their own minds. And the reason that I bring all that and I say all that is real simple. If we have decided as a populace that our minds are made up and there's nothing we can do, and that is what you have personally chosen on your own to decide, then you are absolutely right. There is nothing we can do. However, for those same people who have that mindset, who continue bitching, moaning, groaning, and whining because we're getting new taxes, we're getting new illegal fees, we're getting new invisible taxes, if you will, our leadership is not representing us. Nobody's doing anything. Woe is me and the world is bad. guess what? Look in the mirror. That decision you made that there's nothing you can do is what created that. And that's why we've always, you know, the MVM Network stands for My View Matters. You need to empower yourself. And the first way to empower yourself is to change your thought process, to change the way you think, to realize that, yes, indeed, your view does matter. But it only matters if you get involved and make sure that people know that you matter. If you're not willing to do that, you're stuck with what you got. Pay attention, get involved, really spend a lot of time on our websites and throughout the community. There's a lot of people out there who are working to make a difference. But I think it's time everybody gets over their own agenda. And there's a lot of people out there who have their own agenda. And look at the bigger picture here. Because at the end of the day, we all have one life to live. At the end of the day, you know, we're not white, black, green, yellow, or purple. We're Americans first. And Americans understand that we have a system of government that is dictated by a constitution that we should be adhering to. And that applies at every local level. That applies anywhere across government. Here in Louisville, we're seeing what happens when you forget who we the people are. So let's make sure we recognize ourselves as being the people and make sure that these so-called elected leaders in this uniparty understand that we the people do have the power. That's it for tonight, folks. Dale, anything for tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night is going to be Thursday, May 29th, as I look at the Liberty calendar here. And what's important on May 29th? Well, the 2014 Bilderberg meetings are starting tomorrow in Copenhagen, Denmark. And we keep telling you that the empire is on the run and freedom is on the march, and you got this unipolar group of 120 globalists who are going to meet in Denmark for their little secretive confab. And believe it or not, the New World Order is on the run. You look at Russia's emergence. You look at the crisis in Ukraine. You look at the anti-EU revolution sweeping Europe. You look at the serious threat to their unipolar world order. And Bilderberg has spent 60 years to build this up. It's the 60th anniversary of the Bilderberg Group that first met at the Bilderberg Hotel in 1954, and they've got a lot more to lose than they've ever had in the New World Order.
That's going to be an interesting show. I'm definitely tuning in myself. I tell you, folks, there's so much there. Please tune in tomorrow night. You're gonna love the connections. Dale does a great job bringing all that together for you. So check it out tomorrow night with Dale the Truth on the TNT Thursday Night Truth Show. That's it for tonight. I myself will see you guys live on Monday night. Don't forget the show note that the TNT show moves to Tuesdays effective next week. With that said, have a great week, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you for listening.